Every Thursday, good Lord willing, we speak with the one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN. He is a scripture scholar. He is an amazing host. He's an author, a speaker, retreat leader, and he's full of a lot of common sense. And, Father, I'm praying for a return to common sense today for this on the National Day of Prayer. And among other things, leadership and less arrogance among these people who are protesting and this elitism. And it's just so out of control. So I was wondering, watching all of this, you and I have been talking about this now for about 2 weeks, and it just keeps, now, even though the police have moved in, they moved into Columbia earlier this week, they're moving in now at UCLA. Apparently they're, and watching some of the breaking news stories this morning, they're receiving a lot of resistance, apparently, so there's some trouble out there, so we have to pray for that situation as well. Mm-hmm. But we're into this now 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And just your thoughts here on this National Day of Prayer in terms of the lack of morality that's coming out.
I think there are a number of things. First, the attention to this being a protest by two different kinds of people. There are students who get their news apparently from TikTok. They don't know and they don't believe what happened to the Israelis, the 1,500 Israelis or so, back on October 7th. They don't believe it. They say that's all propaganda. And they filter out any kind of empathy for Israelis, any kind of justification for the war in Gaza. That would be the students. Then there is a second population that's present here. Look for the ones with the masks. Also notice all the helmets are the same over in Los Angeles. They all of a sudden have gas masks. I don't think they sell workers' helmets and gas masks at the bookstore on campus.
Mm-hmm.
This was all brought in by these professionals. They look more, they are looking more like stormtroopers. Matter of fact, I've been thinking about calling them the SS. If the earlier evidence is true that these are being financed by a George Soros organization for an open society, then these would be the Soros stormtroopers, and that would make them the SS. And these stormtroopers are professionals. Now, what I saw before I left home this morning, mm-hmm, was that they were being taken one at a time, and there was not a lot of they weren't fighting back. And I think that something that was mentioned by Raymond Arroyo may be exactly correct. I kind of suspected this. This is a staging. This is a way to see how will the troops, how will the police, the state police, etc., act in various locations. When bridges are blocked and ports are blocked, airports are blocked, and now universities are blocked, they're testing in different locations how the police will react. And then they may use this for a more serious target, such as the threats that are being made about the Democratic National Convention, or perhaps the election itself in November, and what happens in Chicago at the Democratic Convention may also be a second stage of preparation by these professionals, not by the students so much, but by the professionals who had once been part of Antifa and now are part of this pro-Gaza, pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, it varies in different places, movement. So this is something to pay attention to, and hopefully there will be investigations about the funding, because some of the people, for instance, the two or three janitors at Columbia that were held hostage for a while, that's a criminal offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the district attorney will file suit against anybody for holding hostage. They may simply have to go to a civil lawsuit where they won't be in jail, but they'll be fined. And they can be fined a lot of money for this, because this is a serious crime to hold.
But do you think that will actually happen? We're talking about the state of New York. You're talking about New York City. You're talking about a very liberal state with prosecutors that go after things that really don't seem to matter, as opposed to, you're talking about malicious destruction of property. You're talking about holding someone hostage against their will. These are serious criminal acts, Father.
I don't trust the district attorney or the prosecutors to go after the criminal charges.
Mm-hmm.
But individuals can go after, that's why I mentioned civil lawsuits. So that's for property damage. And that's where you can get a lot of money. If in a criminal lawsuit, you can have them put in jail. In a civil lawsuit, you can have somebody pay charges or damages done.
But if there aren't consequences, then this is going to continue.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's it. And one of the things that we've seen in the different states is that some of the state's leaders and state university leaders in some of the states like Florida and Texas understand this is criminal behavior, and you can protest, but you can't lock people. You can't be anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish. To threaten Jewish lives is a crime. And they went in. In other places, you have feckless leaders, and that the universities have so many left-leaning ideologies present, they become frozen in inaction. They don't know what to do because none of this computes in their mentality of keeping order. Order, you have to, even if you have a two-year-old, you have to, enforce order on a two-year-old. These people have a lot more strength than a two-year-old and even bigger mouths, it seems. And so, you have to take steps. People on the left have no ideological support in their own minds. I'm not talking about outside. Within their own minds, they have no ability to get their head around the need to bring order, because it means saying you're wrong and I'm right. You have to stop and I will continue. They have no principle for that. This is the result. Also, a lot of people have pointed out that when the professors were locked arm in arm to prevent police at Columbia from going into the encampment, the issue was that the professors, many of the programs, had taught the students to be political activists.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the breeding ground, and they got what they had hatched. They might have thought of little chicks and little ducklings, but they got vultures instead. And so this is that's the problem of sitting on eggs. You don't know what you're going to hatch if you didn't lay them. And that's the case with these professors. They're not parents. They don't have the concern that parents do. They have ideological concerns that they've brought to the students, and now the students have come to the university. And you watch the impact on the university. I cannot imagine that somebody would go in there and pay nearly $350,000 for a four-year education at Columbia.
Father, hang on. One more discussion when we come back. We're going to get cut off by the satellite break, but we'll continue with Father Mitch Pacwa on May 2nd, Cultural Connection. Stay tuned. Spiritual Connections. It's Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN, author, speaker, theologian. So, Father, some very interesting points you brought up in terms of this being basically some test runs around the country, which actually does make a lot of sense because a lot of these people, this is what they actually do for a living. It's frightening to think, God forbid, what could happen in the future if that is indeed the case. But we don't see a lot of leadership, not from the universities, not from Joe Biden. He said very little about this. He's speaking through his spokespersons. We are not seeing really too much leadership from anybody on either side of the political aisle. Right.
Certainly, the only leadership is being shown in at some of the state and local level in places like Texas and Florida. Oklahoma, places like that, where they have clear, definite commitment to the law. They're committed to law enforcement. They like the police, and they try and again have to keep everybody, including police, within the law. It's not a totalitarian state. That can never be allowed, but you do have to let the police do their job. They're that thin blue line between chaos and order. And in a lot of these states, they do show leadership, and the result is students are able to go to class and such. Parents who spent $70,000 this year to have their children go to Columbia are not getting their money's worth. Especially the Jewish students who were told correctly not to come to campus for their own safety. Now, it's incorrect, it's immoral that they should be kept away. It's immoral that students who say, well, I'm Jewish and I'm a Zionist, that's their position, whether you like it or not. They have the right to that, but these protesters don't allow them on campus if they say that. They don't allow them in the library. They block their way. And, you know, nobody stands up for their right. You know, the pro-Palestinian group has a right to think and say what they say. They don't have a right to stop other people from what they think and say. And to block that's immoral. But you don't have people who are able to really understand the Constitution. Remember how many times the Constitution has been treated like an old document that's out of date and no longer applicable. So the right to freedom of religion and freedom of speech can be denied, and they don't have a principle upon which the university can enforce free access by their students to things like the library and the classroom that they paid $70,000 for. That's a huge amount of money, even if it is inflated today. Still, it's a huge amount of money. And, you know, buy a couple of vehicles for that, or get yourself a license as a plumber and have a good living, but and actually work for a living. But you know, this is something that they're stuck. But you have to look longer range, because the Organization for an Open Society that Soros proposes is not about just protesting the Palestinian thing. Again, as I said in the past, he is using the Palestinian cause exactly the way they used the death of George Floyd. And they used Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter ended with $90 million unaccounted for and its foundresses living in mansions in Malibu and elsewhere. This is not about them. They don't care about them. They bought them off. They're done. Now it's about this group as a way to rally their stormtroopers to go out and get, you know, other feckless students in this case. Before, I mean, when the George, 4 years ago during the election, you know, it was George Floyd and churches were flying BLM's flags and all this stuff. These are feckless fools who are going along with this stuff and not thinking. And
yes, but these feckless fools are in the colleges. And the article that I sent you, I don't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted you to respond. I sent you that interesting piece that was written by a writer in the Telegraph over in Great Britain, looking at us like the United States is full of idiots because we can't control these college students, and
that's
saying
right.
that this is what the future holds. If this is what the future holds for the West in America, we're all doomed. And talking about the elitism, the arrogance of the
right.
students, this is, to me, in addition to everything you said, which is spot on, but the lack of morality and the lack of entitlement
yes.
that these students think that they have, that kind of attitude, again, if there's not consequences, just like with what we saw, you know, back in 2020, this kind of a thing is going to happen every few years because they feel like they have to, you know, join some sort of a cause and that they can do whatever they want. They have no respect for the law or anything.
Well, here's one of the things to keep in mind. As I mentioned in previous weeks, when you go to the website of the A15 group that organized the first protests, they're Marxists. And Hayek, who was a Austrian economist, brilliant Austrian economist, pointed out that both the Nazis and the communists have a view toward a totalitarian economy. And it is not something about the German people or the Russian people that made them so genocidal. It was the ideology of National Socialism, Nazis, because they were socialists, and the ideology of Marx that made people totalitarian. And that, pay attention, there is a morality, but it's a morality set by Karl Marx himself, a very, very evil man. I urge people to take a look also at Paul Pengor's very fine book, Karl Marx and Satan. Karl Marx and the Devil, I think it's called, by Paul Kengor. And you see that it's not just a lack of morality. It is a clear Marxist immorality that is being promoted in the name of totalitarian economy. And fools who are trying to find some moral cause jump onto it and become their troops that are the ones that they can get rid of. They can. You can't believe the perils. When you look at the history of Marxism and Soviet Union, they recruited the homosexuals to help them, and they got things going. The first gay pride parade was in May 1918 in Moscow, was it run by the state. But then by 1926, just, you know, 8 years later, they were destroying the homosexuals because they used them. They were troops. The Nazis did the same thing with the homosexuals in the brown shirts. And then on the night of the Long Knives, they killed them all.
Yeah.
This is something that they will do again because a Marxist or socialist, a totalitarian economy makes a totalitarian...
Father, got to go. Great points, and we'll catch up with you next week. Thank you so much.